You're listening to Potential Cast Season 2, Episode 13. Surprise! On Buffy's 17th birthday, she and Angel must prevent Spike and Drusilla from resurrecting the Judge, a demon who has the power to destroy humanity.
My name is Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
I'm Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Bob.
Hi.
So, Bob, you do production work on the Hellmouth podcast?
Yeah, I do audio editing for it. That's a Buffy podcast hosted by Brian Curry. And it's also an episode-by-episode discussion, but it is spoilery, so most of you shouldn't listen to it.
Yeah.
But Stephanie has been a guest on it. Brian's a very bright guy. He's always coming up with angles of things that I haven't thought about the episodes.
Right.
It's well worth listening. If you're curious about it, go to hellmouthpodcast.com. There's also a little musical project going on for those of you that are singers or musicians. Again, spoilery, so you may want to avoid it, but take a look at that also.
Thanks. Yeah. With the What's More With Feeling episode.
Yep. So if you've seen through season 6, you're okay.
Yeah. We have a ways to go.
Yes, we do have a ways to go, don't we? All right. Okay, let's get into a little bit of feedback, and then we're going to talk about Surprise. Yes?
Yes.
Awesome. So, Shelley writes to us, feedback and Ted. Hi, Gax, and very special guest of the week. Just listened to the What's My Line Part 2 podcast. Thanks again for the giggles. I was really happy you guys noticed the Scott Pilgrim moves. I love Scott Pilgrim. By the way, SOD, or sod, can also be used as a verb. And by sod, of course, she means suspension of disbelief. It can be used as a verb. As in, Ted is the epitome of a sodding episode. Ted's fun just for John Ritter's performance, and I love Willow getting so excited about geeky stuff. Too bad he didn't stay dead, though. That last act was sodding ridiculous. Love you guys, Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley. And I think what we have is a voicemail.
Ooh.
And this voicemail, I believe, is about Surprise. And Steph, you've heard this one, and it's not spoilery.
Yes.
Okay. That's the last time I'll ask, I promise.
Okay.
Because I've unfortunately been spoiled a couple times already.
Because she just talks about feeling bad for a character.
Okay.
She doesn't. There's no specifics.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Because I was unfortunately spoiled on our Facebook group by someone's Facebook profile picture.
Dang it! Really?
Yeah. Well, I clicked on the link to see who these people were, where they were from, and their profile picture is not a picture of them. It's actually something describing something about someone. So I was a little bit disappointed. It's not a big deal because it's something that I think was already in my unconscious brain. About stuff that I thought I knew about Buffy and maybe certain things. So it was just, you know, I'm like trying to, now I'm like completely spoiler free obsessed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's terrible. It is terrible. It's terrible. All right.
All right.
Bob, do you have it queued up?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Surprise. Hi, this is Shelley, and I'm surprising you by calling instead of just sending an email. So hi to Gax, and I know it must be a very special guest in order to choose this person to guest on these episodes. I hope that you have really enjoyed them and understand by now what the fuss is all about.
Mm-hmm.
there's tons and tons of surprises in Surprise, obviously. And all I want to say is about Innocent is that other people would talk about the content, but I want to talk about the emotional reaction I felt. I mean, I never have felt so emotional watching a television show before and felt so horrible and bad for a character as when I felt after watching Innocence. So I'm really enjoying you guys and I'm enjoying your giggling and I will talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shelley.
Wow, that's like Because, I mean, for people listening, we haven't watched Innocence yet.
No.
And we're all really keen to get this episode out of the way. We were on Twitter last night. I could record right now. I could be downstairs in 10 minutes. I was so eager. It was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I actually don't think it can be overhyped, but I guess we're about to find out.
Awesome. Yes.
All righty. So, who wants to start?
Wow, where do we start?
At the beginning. Okay, can I start with, oh my god, a Twin Peaks-ish dream sequence? Hello! That was fabulous. Now, does anyone here actually know word for word what Willow says in the dream?
Oh, no, but I bet you do. What does she say?
It sounded like a horrible attempt at French. Because I recognize the last word as being a horrible attempt at pantalon, which is, Kimberly?
Pants.
Yes, pants. And she's sitting with a...
monkey.
Monkey. And he's maybe mocking someone with his monkey pants? Which would be an awesome callback to, what's my line, part two, I believe?
Yes.
I think it's, I have no idea what language it was, but I have a feeling it was German. The only reason why I say that is because the version that I am watching has German subtitles. And for that part, they had no subtitles. So that's
I think
why
it may
I
be because it they couldn't recognize it. Because I tried listening to it four or five times.
Could be.
And I couldn't get it. But I thought I heard pantalon. But like terribly, like worse than Ed Broadbent obscure Canadian reference, would like pronounce a French word, you know?
I don't know.
But well, Oz has made the point that all monkeys are French, so I suspect it is likely to be French.
You know what? It was probably a terrible attempt at French.
Yes.
But yeah, dream sequence that was, I don't know, Drusilla sneaking up behind there was scary.
Yes.
That was very scary.
I think I'll go on record now and say Drusilla is officially my favorite character.
Really?
She's not a sidekick anymore.
Thank goodness.
Her. She's so weird. It's awesome.
Yeah, she looks great in that red. I love that red on her.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I really like about this episode is that Drusilla does have such a big role with Spike sort of incapacitated. Uh-huh. And I think she really does a great job with it.
Uh-huh. I have a question. I'm not sure if it means anything, but her party, was it just like a party because she's like healthy in quotes again? Like she's restored?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, uh-oh, does she and Buffy have the same birthday?
I was thinking something along the same lines because...
Yeah, because at one time...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, in one of Buffy's dreams, they're wearing the same dress.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Mm. In the second dream that she had when she was sleeping in Giles' office, they were wearing the exact same dress.
Well, it doesn't come up again. They don't celebrate Drusilla's birthday on future Buffy birthdays.
And yeah, let me tell you, every season, is it every, it's not every season, I don't guess, Bob.
I don't think so, but there are certainly others.
But yeah, Buffy's birthday is very important in the series.
That's so weird. That's good. I like that. So.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Well, no, we'll get to it. Okay, we'll get to it later after we discuss Jenny freaking Calendar. Okay, but anyways.
Tell me about it. I retract my declaration of love for Jenny. I no longer care if she will go to Comic-Con with me. I feel deceived and...
Well,
and
I don't
just,
know if Jenny's still all bad or she's, you
Well, it
know,
doesn't
because...
matter. She's not. She's definitely not as cool anymore.
Because she was so eager to get Angel out of town. And I'm just like, is she getting him out of town because she knows her uncle's going to come back and get him? Like, she wants to help him out or she wants to get him out because that way they can isolate him and Angel will die.
I think it's the latter.
I don't know yet.
It's to keep Buffy and Angel apart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
One so minute Jenny of pleasure is too much. Get off my train.
So she's are you gonna play that the ghost theme song, what's it called?
Unchained Melody.
Unchained Melody.
It's playing right now. By the way, I want to interject something. Purple hat watch.
Adorable.
That was the best hat ever. That was the best hat ever.
Did anyone else think that for that scene, when she's all cute and flirty, because I didn't know Allison Hannigan before American Pie, really. Mm-hmm. And that scene, she was totally in American Pie mode. Like, she's, like, mumbling and, like, all cute. And I was like, oh. Guess it's just me then.
I try to forget about American Pie. I blocked that out of my memory.
Right. That was such a good movie, the first one. The third one begs to differ. Anyways, go else.
That was the best asking out on a date scene ever.
Oh,
that was so awesome.
Well, I like you're unpredictable.
Like. Yeah. So, yeah, this, okay. Shall we talk about Yana?
Yana.
Okay.
The gypsy.
Sure.
So she's not a techno-pagan anymore? She's a gypsy?
I think she might she's still both. Be a techno-pagan.
Oh, she's both.
She's got to be both.
I don't know what that techno.
Well, it's like steampunk, you know.
So, what is she? It? The gypsy of the Kaldishirin?
Not the Kardashians. The Kaldarash. I wrote here: Jenny Calendar is Yana Kaldarash. And what I want to know is, through that whole exchange, one thing stuck out at me. I want to know who the elder woman is. That's what I want to know.
Maybe we'll find out someday. Or maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe it's her mother or her sister or her grandmother.
I don't know. It's just like all of a sudden it's, you know, it was weird.
It was.
I was so disappointed when I found out that Jenny was Yana.
Well, all of the characters have layers. It's not just the major ones.
Yeah.
There are even minor characters that grow and change. And this isn't just change for the sake of it. It really is important to the plot line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to come back very quickly.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I had a visceral emotional reaction.
You sure did.
You know what I mean? It was weird.
And I was like, I got to watch this episode.
It was weird. It was like, I don't know. I guess the emotional attachment I had for that character snuck up on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But mm-hmm. It also makes you think now that every character they introduce, you gotta have.
I know. I'm like, oh no!
If you let it down,
who's
gonna
disappoint me now?
A gypsy from the Kaldishian.
Who's gonna disappoint me now? Who's gonna break my heart? Who am I gonna renege my Comic-Con invitation?
As soon as that reveal came out, I thought to myself. Poor Leo. I really did.
That's exactly what I
Forget
thought, too.
Giles. Poor Leo.
Yeah, fuck Giles. I'm the one who's really hurt. He doesn't even know about it yet. I had to deal with it right away.
But I don't know. I started laughing so hard. I know I'm not supposed to, but like, it was a nice touching moment where Angel's telling Buffy he has to leave, and she's like, "Not on my birthday." And then Jenny Calendar's like, "Let's go take my car."
No, she was like, "Zoop!" She was like photobombing the scene. All of a sudden, there's Jenny in the frame.
So good.
We can take my. I can take you to the docks.
Yes, that's what she said.
It's hilarious. Oh, man. So, as soon as we find out she's Yana Kaldarash, everything she says, I'm doubting. Like, am I the only one that thought that when she bumped into Buffy and told her she had to take her somewhere, that this was going to be an assassination attempt?
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
Like, I thought the next line was going to be forget the gun, bring the cannolis.
Yeah, I think they set that up with the foreboding music also. I think they wanted you to think that.
Damn foreboding music.
And I thought there was something similar when her uncle walked in on her in the classroom also. Again, there was sinister music playing.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now she just seems sketchy to me. She's just like, no matter what she says, no matter what she does, I don't trust her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sketchy.
Well, I remember when she was first introduced, there's something about her I didn't like, but then she was, then she became part of the gang, and I thought, okay, everything's great now. It's just be being suspicious. Now I know I was right. I don't trust anybody. What did I write down? Okay, so what's up with Oz? Like, he wasn't freaked out about anything. He was actually kind of cool with it. And he's talking about, well, it totally makes sense being from the Hellmouth. What does he know? I have a feeling that he has some sort of supernatural power or something.
Well, no, it was just that he's just, you know, growing up in Sunnydale, things have happened. And
so he's probably thinking it can't always be gangs on PCP.
Right. Right.
So he's probably like, this is finally smart. Something that makes sense that isn't just gangs on PCP.
Right. And he's also, Oz is also so stoic that he doesn't freak out easily about anything.
Yeah, remember he got shot and had the same kind of, wow, that's odd kind of reaction.
And painful.
Yes.
Yeah. Becky and Willow are so cute together.
They are. Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to start a lift watch. See in which scenes is he wearing lifts and which scenes he isn't, you know?
Well, you know, if the no bra wearing continues, then we'll have to
let me tell you.
Pick up something else, so
the no bra wearing might be a deliberate attempt by Joss Whedon to foil our plans with a time machine.
That son of a bitch. How dare he?
The views of Gabby do not necessarily reflect the views of everyone else on the podcast.
Oh, it was said with love. In my heart.
I have a comment for Debbie.
Yes.
Okay. All I can hear are kissing noises through the whole freaking episode. I'm like, this is disturbing and uncomfortable. I was like, thanks a lot, Gabby.
The moist slurpy noise. I remember back in the day when I would listen to like soap operas on the radio while I was at work typing away, and you could tell when people were making out because you could hear the slurpy noises, and that's what just takes me back to.
I never noticed it until you brought it up.
Now you're never not gonna notice it.
I know. So
there. By the way, that's getting you back for spoiling Man Angel.
You know what?
It's a long con.
Yes, it's a very long con. Excellent.
I thought everybody knew that Angel was a vampire.
What?
Wait a minute. Holy crap.
Cordelia does not know how to cook.
Or stir.
Had it stir and serve. Oh, Cordelia.
And clearly at surprise parties, she hangs out by herself. Away from everybody.
It's probably not by choice.
I really like her exchanges with Xander. I do.
I do, too.
I have a feeling it's going to get old, though, really quick.
Yeah. And you know what's nice is Charisma Carpenter always has really nice things to say about Nicholas Brendon at cons and in interviews.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, Steph, I caught up on Private Practice.
Oh, so you saw that?
I saw it, and I was just like,
Ooh, chilling.
Very chilling. Anyways, yes.
So hopefully Nicholas Brendon will get a Emmy nomination like Michael Emerson did from The Practice.
Creepy.
Very creepy. So there was these boxes and Drusilla, who I have to say had the best kind of about to look into her present reaction. It was like, oh, that's like when my son is about to open his gifts, but really creepy. And then what she says when she opens it, and I'm not going to say it just in case it's someone's quote, but it's like, man, she's a creeper. And she will not abide with those flowers.
No.
She won't. No. She's a nutter. I thought maybe she'd get a little less crazy when she felt better, but I think the whole crazy thing has nothing to do with her not feeling well.
Oh, right. It's just heightened even more.
And apparently she's crazy enough to bring on Armageddon.
Yes.
With the judge.
Yep. She's healed, but she's still crazy and still psychic. It's a very interesting combination.
I'm assuming she was still crazy before she was turned and psychic before she was turned. That's what my theory is. Mm-hmm. Not going to say I have a theory. That is my theory. So who else cracked up when the hand reached out and started choking Buffy?
I jumped because nobody went to help her. She was like, for a few seconds, she was like, hey guys, can you help me out here? But
that's a good point.
Crazy. I jumped. I could. I. It actually scared me. I screamed a little bit. I'm scared.
The idea that there's something so evil that it can't be killed, but they had to dismember it and hide its parts in the furthest reaches of the earth is really, really creepy and scary. That was really...
So how are they going to kill this judge?
I don't know.
No weapon forged can destroy him.
Ah, but forged. Is forged the key word?
Angel said that he's going to give Buffy a big surprise for her birthday.
Oh, I bet he did. Yes.
Unforged weapon.
Is it Vera? Is it Vera? No?
Oh, okay. No.
All right, good. For those of you that don't understand the reference, watch Firefly.
Yeah, Larry has been watching Firefly.
Oh,
this week.
I love the Firefly. I hadn't watched it in so long, and then I started watching it again. And I realized I've watched maybe 15% of the show. Huh. And boy, oh boy, you're right. Even the episodes that at the beginning, you're kind of like, oh, it doesn't really look good. It ramps up, it twists and turns, and it's so good. I'm in the middle of Out of Gas.
Yeah, every time I watch, I understand it. I get more and more out of it each time I watch it. But okay, Angel did give Buffy a nice birthday present. He gave her a Clauda ring.
On the docks.
Oh, that present.
Yeah, that
present. Oh, Gabby went there. Yeah, I wasn't going there.
Potential Chakast just got real.
Yes. On a very special episode. So the episode where Buffy has sex had to follow the episode where they learned about premarital sex and consequences. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Did they do it? Did they really? They didn't show anything, so I don't believe it.
I think they did it.
They did it.
They did it 1950s movie style. Where they wake up the next morning or evening.
Yeah, and one of them freaks out outside in the rain. What the hell was that about? Like, that is the weirdest way to end an episode.
It really is.
Like,
it's odd.
I'm like, okay, what? Did he have heartburn? Because I used to suffer from really bad heartburn. And I used to, like, literally in the middle of the night, I would sit up out of bed and just totally feel like I was dying inside. And scream Buffy. I'd run right out my door. Christine would be like, what the hell is this guy doing? Actually, most of the time, she would just sleep right through it. She's a very heavy sleeper. And I'd scream Buffy out in the rain. Well, the snow, because it's Canada. And I'd knock over some garbage cans and all kinds
of
stuff.
Very strange.
So
that'll be resolved very quickly. Innocence picks up right where that left off.
Good.
Is it heartburn?
Also, the weird thing about this episode was shown when Buffy was switching time slots. So these episodes were actually shown on back-to-back nights.
Ah.
It went from Monday at 9 o'clock for Surprise to Tuesday at 8 o'clock for Innocence. And I found that weird that just when they were starting to show sex on the show, it went to an earlier time slot. Well, it would be the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why they wanted to do it so quickly, because they knew they wouldn't get away with it.
Maybe.
During 8 o'clock.
Could be.
No, I don't know.
We've actually had to suffer a longer distance between Surprise and Innocence
and
the people actually watching it.
Longer than the first audience did. Yes.
Wow, because I was running some errands earlier, and I was thinking, because every once in a while we have requests of, oh, do you really have to release just once a week? And I'm like, well, you know, we're kind of recreating the whole experience. And hearing what you tell me now, I'm very disappointed. we're actually being masochistic about this. See what we do for you people.
But yeah, I remember back when this aired, this was a huge deal. This
because
was,
they had sex?
Yeah, 17-year-old. I remember in my area.
Yeah, I bet.
Yes. it was scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I guess it depends what the age of consent is where you live, because here in Quebec, it would not at all be scandalous.
As every guy makes a mental note, moving to Quebec.
It's not just the cheap daycare. It's also the age of consent. So why doesn't Joyce want Buffy to drive?
Well, one reason, Buffy's a terrible driver.
What? Wait, what? Did we see this? We saw Cordelia's driving skills. Are you spoiling me on Buffy's driving?
I think so. We haven't seen her drive. I know we've only seen Cordelia drive.
Well, I guess Buffy just hasn't had a lot of experience driving.
Hmm.
Yeah, because I would assume that she would be irresponsible that way for some reason. I don't know why. I never pictured her having a car.
Mm-hmm.
Strange. That's what I got.
Okay. The whole idea of Angel not wanting to take a flight. Has he not heard of red eye flights?
Where,
you know.
Well, he just couldn't. He wouldn't be sure. Yeah. He's got to be 100% sure that.
But can he just cover himself up? Like, I mean, couldn't he just wear a burqa?
Well, no, this is definitely suspension of disbelief. I mean, Buffy could have taken a flight, gotten rid of the thing in a day or two, and come back.
This is true.
I mean, the whole thing was set up, you know, just to have this effect of trying to split them up.
Which makes, and Yana, he will never call you Jenny ever again. And Yana was very, I'm sorry.
Well, you're hurt.
It's still very fresh. The wound is very fresh. But I got to tell you, Yana was really up on the whole, well, no, what? You're going to leave us all unprotected for a while? No. Angel's got to do it. Angel has to do it. Mm. No. Mm-hmm. She could have sent Xander.
Well, I think, I don't know. I have a feeling that Jenny is not, because we all think that she's on the dark side now. She's bad. But
she has you fooled, Kim.
Yeah. I think, see, that's the thing. Before, I thought when she was good, she was bad. And now that she's bad, I'm like, she's actually probably still good. So I think that she's gonna be on the Scooby side in the end. I think she's protecting Angel.
Fool me once, people. Shame on Jenny. Fool me twice, you know. Shame.
Well, I was a Jenny fan before and after this. So.
All right.
I did, in discussions of this, I found myself in a definite minority, though.
So, oh, yeah? See.
Yep.
All right. I'm rarely in the majority on these things.
Well, Brian was a lot more offended by Jenny than what you've said so far.
Oh, okay. Mm. That's good, because I'm worried I'm being a little harsh on Yana. But I guess she's just doing what, you know. I mean, it must be her sacred duty. Does everyone on the show have a yada yada sacred duty?
Yes. Come on.
And what, Xander's is just to have annoying puns and lame jokes?
Not Jonathan, maybe.
Yeah. Who?
Jonathan.
Who?
And when everybody says, oh, Jonathan, look out for him.
I swear, if his real name is Yana too, I'm quitting the show. Jonathan Calderash. Are they all Calderashes? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is my last point because I think I've been like talking over everybody and I apologize. Lucas is back as a Smurf.
Yes.
The actor that played Lucas is the judge.
Luke, yes.
Yeah. Luke? Not Lucas?
No.
Oh, I guess we're trying to class him up. Luke. The guy that played Luke is back as the judge.
Yeah.
And he hates nerds.
That actually happens a couple of other times. There are a couple of other actors that have two roles, but you haven't seen either of them yet. This is the first one where you've seen them.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you guys recognize Luke?
No.
I was like, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? And I think it was you, Bob, on Twitter that mentioned it.
Yeah.
And it was, instant, like, oh, of course it's Luke.
Hmm. Well, Joss loves to bring his actors back. There are people obviously going from Buffy to Angel, from Firefly to Buffy, from Firefly to Angel. Once he finds actors he likes, he tends to put them in everything.
Mm-hmm. That's good for the actors. It was kind of the like ancient tradition too, wasn't it? Like even in Shakespeare's day, they basically had to do that. They really mm-hmm. didn't have that many people acting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I read another point. You know when they were doing like the, like we call, I guess I call it like the phone tree, but when they were calling everyone's parents,
they called it the round robin.
Poor Xander, because I know everyone was hinting about his bad home life, but it's like he calls his mom and is like, "Hi, mom." Pause. Xander. It's like she's like, "Who is this?"
I can't wait to find out more. Do we find out more?
Yes.
I can't wait. I really, really can't wait.
I feel like it's going to be really sad for
probably.
But I was like, poor Xander. He's like, it's me, mom. Okay, also, when Buffy had her second dream, right?
Yeah.
When she was in the library.
Mm-hmm.
And did she dream that she saw Jenny Calendar in that dream?
Because I did see Jenny Calendar.
Yeah. I saw the back of her head. But I know that
I saw her in the first one and I looked for her in the second viewing and it was definitely Jenny.
I didn't see her in the first one, but I definitely saw her in the second one. I'm just wondering if she turns around and like Buffy sees her and she knows that Jenny's bad after that or
I don't know.
I think it just represents Jenny's part in the whole situation. Mm-hmm. But you know, Bob, how Brian always talks about Buffy's dual personalities, about how there's the Slayer and then there's Buffy, mm-hmm. the student. Well, Giles is trying to convince her that mm-hmm. her dream wasn't necessarily a premonition. He tells her, you know, to go do your schoolwork or do it. And she's like, oh, I'll go to be that Buffy.
Mm-hmm. I noted that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, that really struck a nerve with me that she's just so conflicted. She doesn't know which Buffy to be when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, she can't go home and be a Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Worlds colliding, which is something we all kind of faced in high school, I think. Right? Who you are at home versus who you are at school.
I'm like, well, you were a Slayer.
I was a Slayer.
No, but the whole idea that, you know, like you're one way at home with your parents and you're another way at school with your friends.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I know I was.
But yeah, that is true. Like I was one way with a group of friends and one way with another group of friends. Mm-hmm. And they never would associate with each other, but yeah. I would act differently with different groups of friends.
Cordelia shot Xander down when he asked her to be his date at
that was
the
nasty
surprise party.
Because apparently someone has everything to lose and someone else has nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. Yeah, way to be a little bit, you know, subtle, maybe. Let him down easy.
No,
I think she's scared.
Not for style.
She's scared.
Yeah, I think that she really likes him and she's afraid of that.
Because it's worlds colliding.
Mm-hmm. And Willow and Oz was just the opposite. She walked away with her kind of like Beavis and Butthead moment. You know, I said date.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true.
Is anybody else offended by how really dumb villains can get? I mean, the one guy they had, the one minion they had that was really smart, the guy that did the translation and was stealing the judge's arm and.
Mm-hmm.
Confronted Buffy without getting killed a couple of times. He's the one they decide to feed to the judge as practice.
The judge doesn't like nerds.
Yeah. They can't,
he enjoys intellect.
They can't go out and get some random person off there, get Jonathan or somebody. I mean, he's the one person they had that was useful.
Mm. This is true.
Even Spike said he's the only one we have with half a brain.
Yeah.
Spike. I love how he seems so irritated sometimes when
yeah.
he talks to Drake. I mean, he's sitting there with his, you know, his head in his hand when he's in his, you know, pretty red wheelchair. wheelchair. He's like, what?
I got to tell you, I love Spike in the wheelchair. I do. I do. It gives him a whole, you know, listen, you. He's like an old man Potter. He's like old man Potter in It's a Wonderful Life in the wheelchair. Like, hey, you. Don't forget who brought you here. You. Where's the money, George?
That's all I have for you now. Oh, we didn't talk about how Buffy and Angel, they said that they love each other.
Mm. Yeah, what's so difficult about saying I love you?
Because he has to say, and then someone has to come in, and they have to have a fight, and then...
but even when he finally said it, Kim, it was like, okay, guy, you're 200 and something years old. I'm presuming it's not the first...
How she's going to react?
Really?
Really?
Like, that's what people are worried about?
I don't know.
I don't know. I've never been worried about how the other person's going to react.
Show aimed at teenage girls.
This is true.
Yes.
Which is why I enjoy it so much.
Angel actually does not have a lot of social skills. This is going to come up again and again. So.
Well, his dressing habits have already been pointed out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, if somebody knocks on my door and I say, hold on, I'm actually putting on a shirt. Yeah. I have a sneaking suspicion he asked her to hold on because he was taking off his shirt.
Sure, exactly. And then when she gets inside, he's when he puts the shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
That was hilarious.
I'm expecting him to, nope, shirt off.
Did anyone notice in the first dream when Buffy's at the Bronze and she turns around and sees Angel and they kind of smile at each other, that the guy behind Angel was like, is she checking me out?
I didn't notice that.
And then when Angel walks by, he's like, oh, and he like walks away.
I didn't notice that. That's awesome. Oh,
hilarious.
That's fantastic.
You have to go back and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
But shirtless men are a staple of Joss Whedon shows at all times, so this is no exception.
Nice.
Well.
I think that's all the notes I had. Well, did anyone else notice in the computer lab right before Yana's uncle came that there's a poster on the wall that says, have brain today?
No, I didn't know that at all.
Very random, and I was like, why would... Anyway, okay. That's all. That's weird.
Any other notes?
No.
Nope.
Steph?
Not really. Just that the judge smells the humanity on Spike and Drusilla, mm-hmm. the affection and jealousy that they have.
Yep. Hmm. Which is interesting.
Spike's what of it?
So I guess it's time to rate the episode.
Well, I really liked it, so I'm going to give it. excuse me, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10, an 8 surprise parties out of 10.
Go ahead, Gabby.
Oh my God. We'll hit.
wait, before we rate, was there any bra watch?
No, never. There was really not a lot of bras. No.
Yeah, there was no bra watch.
Yeah, you know what I mean. No, there was actually one scene that I was like, is that something? And I'm like, whatever. Like, she was in bed wearing a black tank top. Yeah. And I'm like, whatever. I don't know. All I knew was she was running around for like a quarter of the episode with no bra on whatsoever.
I have a theory.
Yeah. You have a theory?
I have a theory. My theory is that slowly but surely, if not suddenly, bra watch will transform into ab watch. That's what I think.
Yeah. Anyway, I loved this episode. I watched it 3 times, and I loved it every single time. It got better and better and better every time I saw it. And, you know, you get creepy, dreamlike bronze. So, hello.
So was that half a point?
No.
Because it wasn't really the bronze?
I'll get two for that because it was creepy, dreamlike. Oh, nice. And there was a monkey there.
With the pantalon.
Yeah. I'm giving this one a 10.
Wow.
Bra straps because I got nothing else. I'm
leaving. That's fine.
A 10, wow.
A 10. I this is finally an episode that I liked more than the pack. Like, genuinely, because I still love the pack. I think that episode's awesome. And I know it's from, you know, season one, I roll. But I really liked this. Yeah.
Well, I love it. I give it 9 out of 10. Judge jigsaw puzzle pieces.
Nice. Nice. I was going to give this episode a 10 out of 10. And I've subtracted one for Yana. Oh. So I've decided to give this episode 9 out of 10. Lying, phony bitches. I'm sorry.
Well, I like this episode a lot. Two of my favorite characters, Drusilla and Jenny Callender, had real big parts in it. And there's a lot of stuff in this episode and the previous ones that's really going to come into focus in Innocence. I'll give it a 9 out of 10 moments of true happiness.
Aww. Is that everybody? Yeah.
That is everybody. Yeah. I've been keeping notes of when people rate. Before we get into quotes, I just want to remind our listeners, if you want to send us feedback, you can call us at 270-40-BUFFY. You can send us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
That's right. If you want to join our fabulous Facebook group, fabulous.
Really?
Yes. If you want to do that, if you want to join our fabulous Facebook group, go to Facebook and search for Potential Cast, but all one word, no spaces. And that way you'll be able to find us and ask to be added. And just keep it spoiler free and we'll be super happy to have you there. We're up to 74 members.
Wow. Yay.
Which actually means 70 because, you know.
We're 4.
GAX are 4. You know? And I'm like, you know, like you're not supposed to count the band as part of the audience. How many people went to your show? 10. But there are 5 of you on stage. 5. I've had lots of those, let me tell you. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast. You can also go to our website, potentialcast.com, and check out the show notes and either download directly through there, or you can rate us on iTunes after you subscribe to us on iTunes. Yeah, so feel free to let us know what you think about us and our show, or if you want to send feedback for specific episodes, you can go ahead and put the title of the episode you want to give us feedback on. Or feedback about in the subject line, and we'll be more than happy to read it and use it on the show.
Yes.
Quotes?
Stephanie?
Still not every dream you have comes true. I mean, what else did you dream last night? Can you remember? I dreamt that Giles and I opened an office supply warehouse in Vegas.
Gabby? Oh.
You ready to get down, you funky party weasel? I should have given 10 funky party weasels.
With the magic of editing, I think you just did, right?
I'm sorry, what?
What?
You think he's too old because he's a senior? Please, my boyfriend had a bicentennial.
True, that was totally my quote.
Always pick 5, just in case.
Use the one with the wanker.
The wanker one.
I'll tell you later.
A true creature of evil can survive the process no human ever has. What's the problem? We send Cordy to fight this guy and go for pizza.
It was at that point I was like, oh, Xander, you're so lame.
Let's see. Did everyone just see that guy turn to dust?
I love Oz.
The wanker one is, he is a wanker, but he's the only one with half a brain.
Excuse me. Now you got me coughing.
It's the bubons. They're Canadian bubons. That's what happens when you back bacon. It's not ham, people. Do we have homework?
Next week, Innocence.
And by next week, you mean in 5 minutes? 5 minutes. When I hang up? Thanks for joining.
Twitter carefully.
Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being in with us on such short notice.
I had a blast. I love talking Buffy, and I just think it's a great idea for a podcast. We listen to this thing and just laugh ourselves silly.
Aww.
Thanks, Bob.
So do it.
All right. Well, bye, everybody.
All right. Bye.
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 Bye. Yeah, it's going to be a pretty short episode, let me tell you.
Wow. That's pretty quick.
Yes.
And it's such a great episode. I guess we were just...
We want to watch Innocence.
Don't the hours go shorter as the days go by? Never get to stop and open our eyes. 1 minute you're waiting for the sky to fall, and next you're dazzled by the beauty of it all. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time. These fragile bodies of touch and taste, this fragrant skin, this hair like lace. Spirits open to a thirst of grace. Never a breath you can afford to waste. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time.
All right, so. What's going on? I know, Kimberly, I know you just want to record so we can watch Innocence.
Yeah, that's it.
It's basically what I'm thinking about right now.
Shortest episode in history.
I think so. It'll be like 15 minutes. Okay, bye.
Like, okay, and quotes. Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm. Damn, bubons. Okay, Buffy notes. Ready? Okay, I'm going to need somebody to count down from five, so go ahead, volunteer someone now.
Five.
Four, three, two, one. Okay.
Just going to ask Bob if you could find a comfortable position for your mic and not touch it.
Sure.
I'd be really, really, really obliged. Thank okay. you. And Gabby, are you close enough to your mic?
I don't know. Am I?
That's perfect. Whoa, 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 it's a little too close. You take it out to dinner okay. first. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
Have my 17th birthday first.
Ooh.
What?